And this morning, we're gonna continue in our miracles series. We've been talking about the miracles of Jesus and his character in those miracles. When we go back and we look at Scripture, okay? When we look at Scripture and the stories told. So this morning, we're going to talk about something that Jesus did that kind of shocked people. It shocked some people because it just didn't really make sense to a number of people. And Jesus did things like that a lot. He turned things on their head. You know, with who he would welcome and who he would stand up for and who he would just bless. And so this morning we're going to talk about the story of a Roman army officer. Okay, this Roman army officer. Now understand that the Romans at the time of Jesus, they were occupying Israel. They were occupying the temple in Jerusalem. The Jews did not want them there, okay? But the Empire of Rome said, this is our territory, and this belongs to us. So there was that tension there, and there was always, the Romans were always looking out to see, are they going to have another rebellion, like they just did 70 years ago? There were a number of times that Jewish zealots tried to overthrow the Romans and get them out of there. And so Rome was always looking to put the Hebrew people under its thumb and keep them down. So here's this Roman army officer. He's probably got a delegation of probably up to 100 soldiers that are under his command. They're under his command. And so they see what he's doing. They know and they recognize what he's doing. And so we look at this. And this guy comes and he makes a request of Jesus. Now, the Romans were known for overtaxation of the Jews. They were known for the occupation. And so here's this Roman soldier with his troop, with his army, his followers. And he comes to Jesus. So we're going to look at Matthew 8. 5 through 13, but also look at Luke chapter 7. The same story is told, but from different viewpoints, it's a different look, but it's the same story. We're going to talk about that. Why are there some differences? But in Matthew 8, starting in verse 5, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. Roman officers plead with no one. Okay? The strength of Rome does not plead. Understand that? So this Roman officer comes and pleads with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Now, I want you to look at Luke 7. In Luke 7, there's a different type of story for the next few verses. First, we have to look and say, why does this centurion care about his servant? Why is he concerned at all? It's a servant. Well, the words used in this passage, I talk about it as he's almost a son. He's a beloved servant. He was most likely born within his family and has been raised so that this centurion looks at him as his son. Okay? So the next verses are not a contradiction. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Well, in Luke 7, if you look at it, I believe it starts in verse 5. What is different about the story? Somebody tell me. Look at Luke 7. This is audience participation right now. Here we've got a centurion coming to Jesus. Luke 7 says, what does Luke 7 say? I'm okay being quiet until you look at it.
He sent elders.
He sent elders to make his case. So you look and say, is this a contradiction? This is a contradiction because here it says in Matthew that this Roman officer came to Jesus and pleaded with him. But in Luke 7, when it tells a story, it's the elders that have come in his stead to plead with Jesus. And so I look at that and I say, well, why is it different? Well, why is it different? Well, it's not a contradiction. If you come to my house sometime, and Robin or I are telling a story. We've been married 41 years, and you will probably identify with this if you're married or in that situation. If she is telling a story, I have to jump in and make little corrections. If I am telling a story, she jumps in and makes little corrections that don't change the story at all. Right? Any of you get annoyed when you do that to each other? Yeah, we continue to do that to each other, right? And so we continually correct each other on the minor details. I'll say, you know, I'll be talking to somebody and say, Heidi, you know, when Chloe was five, I wrote a book, a children's book about birds, and she did all the illustrations. And Robin might say, Chloe was six. You look and you go, it didn't change the story, but okay, we've established she's six. I do the same thing to her. The other night we were looking at furniture because we got to buy a new couch, because when you have five grandchildren, your couches have a limited lifespan. And this couch has a limited lifespan and it needs to go away. She will blame it on my dog. This is not accurate. My dog is a princess. She smells delightful and she deserves to have two beds on the couch, on the back of the couch. She's like a mountain goat. She climbs on the back of the couch. But we need a new couch. So anyway, we started talking while we were out, and we went to that make your own pizza place, and you know, Kramer's idea back in Seinfeld is now a thing, and you can make your own pie, and you're choosing all the stuff, and where? Blaze Pizza.
Oh, you make your own pizza there?
Yeah, well, they make it, but you go just like at Subway, you're like, I'll have some of this on it, and then this, and then no more sauce, more of this. Thin crust, yes. Garlic, no. And you pick all the things. Oh. So it's like Kramer. Make your own pie, Jerry. Make your own pie. Your own pizza pie. Well, anyway, so we were there. And we had gone unsuccessfully looking for a couch. Well, we started talking about a couch we bought once at a place that has discount furniture and all that. And we were talking about how the fabric really hasn't held up well. And I said, well, you know, we bought that like 9 years ago. And she said, no, we bought it like 7 years ago, 6 years ago. What was it, 5 years ago? We bought it 10 minutes ago. Whenever we bought it, we go back and forth like this, go back and forth correcting the little details. But the point of the story is the couch's material did not hold up. The point of the story was Chloe did the illustrations. So though both that Luke chapter 7 and this passage here, even though they're slightly different, and one says the soldier came himself and the other says the soldier sent representatives, both are the same thing. They're coming for the same purpose. So keep the main thing, right? When Greg always reminds us, the main thing is the plain thing, and the plain thing is the main thing. That's what's important about this story. So it's not a contradiction, okay? So as we continue, but the officer said, after Jesus said, I will come and heal this servant. The officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. This is what blows me away, guys. He says, just say the word from here. You don't even have to come. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. So often in my life, I'm like, I just don't feel like God is hearing me right now. I just feel different. I feel. There are times, and yet I look at this Roman soldier who Luke tells us is popular among the Jews, and that's why the elders came, because he was actually kind to the Jews and helpful to the Jews. And so it gives us a little bit more of the story. I look at this guy and says, just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. He bases it totally on authority. He says this, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. It's like when Robin says jump, I say how high. Okay, it's the authority. No, I don't. Okay, but it's the authority. It's the authority that he's looking at and saying, look, I know about authority because I have this over my troops. I have this authority over the troops. And so he's saying to Jesus, I know you have authority over creation. You have authority over sickness. You have the authority and so much power that you can just say it from here and way back there, my servant will be healed. It blew Jesus away. Jesus said, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, so this is happening in front of people. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, many Gentiles will come from all over the world. Gentiles basically means non-church folks, non-Jews. Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. Gentiles will come. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, the churchy folks, will be thrown in the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, what Jesus is saying is, hey, you guys, this guy gets it. He gets it. You guys don't get it. You don't get it yet. Why don't you get it? And I look and I think of today, that there are so many times that we look and I say, if we're to be reflectors of Jesus, if we're to be ambassadors of Jesus, if we're to be doing what Jesus would do, why are so many who say we're followers of Jesus being totally different than Jesus? I don't get it, but I know Jesus says that happens. That happens. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. Because you believed, it has happened. It has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. So the first thing in this story that I want you to see in the character of Jesus is his compassion, his welcome. Now, he was with his followers. This is most likely an interruption. And it's an interruption from a non-churchy folk. It's an interruption from outside, and it's an interruption from somebody who is a Roman soldier. This Roman soldier has been good to the Jews. That's great. But I'm sure there were many who were looking and saying, why would you even accept him in? Why would you even accept him in? So Jesus shows this unexpected compassion, right? It crosses national, social, and cultural lines. It crosses all of that. The bottom line in this that I see in this story, guys, is that Jesus cares about everyone. This is another example and a miracle of Jesus that he shows, I care about everyone. Everyone. The second thing, it shows us real faith. The centurion doesn't need Jesus to show up in person. He believes Jesus can heal from afar, right? And it surprises Jesus. He tells the people around, wow, this is amazing. And the thing is, it's a real faith coming from a Roman soldier. Somebody outside who is coming to Jesus. Because he says, I know that there's hope in Jesus. I've seen what Jesus has done. I've seen how he responds. I know I will be welcomed there, even though I'm a Roman soldier. The third thing is that Jesus has total authority again. Every miracle that we keep looking at, it's an authority thing. It's a sort. Got pet that dog. I'm sorry. I get distracted really easy. And I love dogs. Oh, you're not going to come see me. Anyway, then Jesus, we see in each miracle he does, he has total authority again. Again, remember? It's like when we saw his first one. He's at a big party, a wedding celebration. Mama comes to him, says, hey, they've run out of wine. Take care of it. Jesus says, woman, it's not my hour. Mama says to the servants, do whatever he tells you, and walks away. All right, we see a picture of that. When mama says, this is what you need to do, we do it, right? And Jesus turned water into wine. Not only wine, but the best wine that they had. And people remarked about it. And he made it in abundance. Why? Because he has authority to take plain water in big jars of clay, water that was used for ceremonial washings, and he's created the best wine, the new wine. We see the miracle of when Jesus went and the fishermen were fishing and not catching anything. And he said, go throw your nets over there. And they're like, dude, come on. We've been fishing all night. He's like, no, go put it in over there. Fish over there. You'll be fine. And they do it. And they get so much fish that their boats are sinking. They have to call somebody over to help them. And they say, who is this man? And they come in. When he stills the storm, Jesus has authority over all of it. Our sick servant, our difficult time we're having, our college decision, our situation where we're looking at how is this going to happen, what are we going to do, we can turn to Christ and ask, Lord, I'm sinking like Peter here. I got out of the boat, started walking on the water, I'm sinking. Lord, save me. And he does. His authority is limitless. I have to ask myself, where do I need to trust that Jesus is really in control? That God is in control in my life? Where do I need to do that more? I think each of us has to ask that question. Do I trust him in my relationships? Do I trust him in my finances? Do I trust him to have control over my life? Jesus' mission includes everyone. So it doesn't matter who you are or what you've come from, Jesus hears you. We see in Scripture, there's a story of Jairus' daughter in Mark 5. He said he healed that daughter, raised her, and said, I'm raising her. That was a synagogue leader. That was a churchy person, a religious person. We saw the Canaanite woman's daughter in Matthew 15, non-churchy person. We saw the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, right? When they dragged her out and tried to make an example of her, and Jesus stood up for her. We see that Jesus, it doesn't matter who you are, he welcomes you. So when I look now, I see the thief on the cross. He's got nothing to offer. He's going to be dead in a few hours, maybe in minutes. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and said, today I tell you, you'll be with me in paradise. He says yes, just because he comes, just because he acts. So this is yet another miracle showing us that the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of Scripture, welcomes all. He hears us. He responds with compassion. He rewards faith steps. And he gives life. In John 16:33, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Right now. I love Joel and Elias here last week and talking about planting a new church. It's going to be beginning on October 5th, 8 a.m. right there. And we're so excited to say, cool, another church coming. Another community where we can grow together and learn more about God's love for us and how he never deserts us. And I loved hearing him. And Joel was talking a lot about how the Bible talks about all of this is going to end and heaven will be perfect and we're going to go to heaven and it's going to be great. Well, I want to tell you this too. I love that idea. But you know what I love? I love life now. That even right now, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I've come to give you water that you'll never thirst again. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you, who's going to walk with you, strengthen you, give you counsel right now. I love that. This is the wild story, is that Jesus keeps welcoming, surprising us by who he welcomes. So I want to encourage you today. None of us is too far gone, too flawed, or too late. The table's open, and Jesus accepts you. Here, I got to show you this. This family picture. We get a family picture done. We try every year to have our family picture done. And then we hang it up on our photo wall. And it's great. And we look at this, and I love looking at our family pictures and seeing how they grow. But see, here's a picture of Jesus. He's got this family portrait. And I need to ask you, can you picture yourself in it? I mean, if I come over here and I say, Jesus says, Wendy, yeah, baby. Oh, Jill, you're a centurion soldier? Welcome. Oh, look at you. You are a leper. Sally the leper. But you're in the family. He welcomes you. He says, no matter where, Willie, look. He says, I want to put you in this frame. Oh, look at these two. Oh, I love it. And so when I take this empty frame and I say, look at it, when Jesus is saying he's building his kingdom, he's building his family, he says, you become joint heirs with Jesus. You become adopted into his family. Why? Just because you came and asked. Just because you came and asked. It's nothing we do. It's everything that he does. Wow, I'm done early. Look at that. Biff always applauds the loudest. I hope when you read these stories, these miracles, that you look and say, what is Jesus showing us about himself in this story? What is his character? Does my character reflect his character? Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for all you've given us in these old ancient manuscripts. I thank you for the examples we have. And I thank you for time after time, you demonstrate that you're reaching, you're welcoming the least of these, the people that others might turn away from, no matter what they've done, no matter where they're coming from. Lord, you welcome. You tell us that God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. And Lord, after that, in John 3:17, you say, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, rescue. So, Lord, I pray today that as we walk away from here, we're able to know that all we do is ask, and Jesus puts us right in that frame and says, you are secure with me forever, part of the family. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys. The rain held off. We got away with it again.